You gotta put, what do they call that thing? A pop screen? Is that what they call that thing?
A pop screen, what do you mean?
Oh, it's a thing so you don't, your voice doesn't pop. I can't remember what it's called. I've heard it referenced, but I don't remember what it's called.
Someone with the audio prowess of myself does not need such devices. Hey everybody, this is Case in Point, episode 23. I'm your host, Justin Case, and with me, I have my intrepid co-host, Jody Yearden. How you doing, pal?
I'm alright, buddy. How you doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas to everybody, all the listeners and everybody around the world. Through much toil and equipment failures and illness, we are here tonight, folks, to entertain you. This is going to be a quick primer episode for our follow Christmas episode coming up, our follow-on, which will be here probably in a few days, Jody. But we,
yep, sounds good to me.
Yeah, we wanted to get people on here to just let them know, hey, we're still here and we plan on doing a holiday episode, so it'll be a lot of fun.
That holiday might end up being like, it could be Festivus.
Arbor Day.
It's probably more than likely, yes, going to be an Arbor Day episode, yep, where we will break down John Denver's thing of the Arbor Day Foundation. Arbor Day Foundation, plant the trees across the nation.
Actually,
let's plant a tree today for all the world to share.
I can't believe you're pathetic. Don't ever do that again.
Plant a tree for your tomorrow. It's your tree that feels... It's like, just... Get back to Evening Shade. I'm trying to watch TV here.
I was thinking more of the post Raisin Bran commercials he used to do. Was it? Remember he would sing that little snippet on the end of that Arbor Day commercial he would do. Plant a tree for all America. Like that. He had those glasses. But anyway.
Yeah, those big glasses. He was on that Muppets special, and it was like, enough of the John Denver list. I want to get back to Kermit. I don't need to see this toe-headed Cousin Oliver lookalike on here.
Oh, you're terrible.
Not a big John Denver fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize.
John Denver and the Heartland Music Collection presents John Denver. Was it Heartland? Was he a Heartland Music? Was he on the roster or was he Time Life?
I think he was Time Life.
Okay.
He was on one, yeah, but definitely along those same lines. Because yeah, we had like Roger Whittaker, Boxcar Willie, and Heartland Music presents Roger Whittaker, and he played piano.
And Conway Twitty, of course. You and Ponch covered that in great detail. We won't get into that.
Because love and use a dirty job.
That guy's songs were so dirty.
It's so gross.
It's gross.
I'm getting creeped out, man.
Yeah, he's only got like a third of the buttons on his shirt buttoned up. Let's not get into it. It's a Christmas episode, not a Conway Twitty episode. We'll save that.
Yeah, it's a Michael Knight rug he's got going on.
Hello, darling.
Nice to see you. I won't sing that whole stanza because I did it on the Conway episode. Twitty yeah, Con. Find it in the archives. Yeah. Piles of coke on the console is doing the recording sessions.
That guy's a creep.
Well, a lot of singers were. A lot of them were.
He's been gone for 20 years, but he's still a creep.
Oh, some of those songs. You and I were talking about that, how you get some of those lyrics when you actually listen to them. Oh, these guys are bad. And you can't put it under the category of, it was a different time. No. That's just inexcusable. That's terrible.
Yeah, what, like, are you referring to our your favorite there, Into the Night by
Benny Mardonis. Yes.
Benny Mardonis. Yes.
Yeah. Creep me now, out,
is
man.
That a is that a regional hit or is that a national hit?
It's a national hit. Right? It had two runs at the Billboard top 100, and he had kind of a resurgence there in the late 90s. He was actually at Bonnie Castle once, and my sister told me a tale of the next day, actually, how late he was for his own concert. He was 45 minutes late, I think, for his show, with no opening act. And
well, when you're as big as, say, Axl Rose, you know, I think most folks would agree that Axl Rose and Benny Mardonis, kind of, you know, 1A, 1B, kind of on the same level as far as superstardom, audience fervor, people big fans of Benny Mardonis and Axl Rose. So when you're on a level as a mega star like that, you set your own rules.
Oh yeah, like Axl Rose cutting out Axl Rose, sorry. that was deliberate. No. He'd go, "Oh, I'm going to go watch the Knicks play." And like there'd be a riot at the stadium, people ripping seats out of the floor. Now, Mr. Ponch can tell you all about that. Mr. Poncherello can tell you about the whole hoopla that happened, and I think he went to one in Philly. They were going to go see Guns N' Roses, and it was when Buckethead was in the band. So this is like 2000, 2001. So the original, like Matt Sorum and Duff McKagan and Slash were not even in the band. It was with this other group. And he said people went, they were ripping seats out of the floor, and they had called the police. Oh, it was bad. And because he cut out and wanted to watch the Knicks. He didn't even show up to Philly. It's crazy.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
That was the post/pre-Bumblefoot era.
Yes, exactly. Pre-Bumblefoot.
Pre-Bumblefoot, yeah.
Ron Bumblefoot Thal, everybody, for those who aren't familiar.
Justin, let me ask you. Justin, did you get my Christmas present I sent to you?
Ladies and gentlemen, I received an excellent gift in the mail last week. And it was a Case in Point podcast t-shirt.
What?
Yes, very.
What does it look like? Tell me, what does it look like? Case in Point t-shirt? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it has our familiar logo with, you see it on the Twitter page. It has the Miami Vice-esque style logo that you've seen on the social media pages we have. It's amazing. And pretty darn cool.
And it's very soft.
It's very soft.
Does it fit you well? Have you tried it on?
It's fantastic. I'm going to spend the weekend in it.
I don't want this to be a Gabriel Kerner where you're like, it's a little tight in the collar, but overall, I'd say it fits pretty good. A Trekkies reference.
Exactly.
I don't want you to feel obligated to wear it.
You know what? My position on it is, if it's tight, it's my fault. So there you go, folks. It fits great.
I've got one coming here in a couple of days. For Christmas. I had to wait till Christmas, but I'm very excited to wear it. Very excited to wear it out and about, and hoping to get a lot of people say, what is this? And then I can hip them to what's going on.
Yeah, we can forego the business cards. We got shirts. We're official.
That's right. And if any of our listeners want to purchase one of these shirts, they are for sale. They are available to the public.
And we will get the link up there on our Facebook page and on our Twitter page.
I'll tell you what it is right now. It's at www.tpublic.com. And just search for Case in Point. It'll come right up. Or you can search for Case in Point. You can search for Justin Case. Either way, you're going to find it. And right now, we've got two shirts up there, Justin. Did you know that?
I did not know that, Jody. That's amazing.
That's true. We've got the classic Case in Point logo. The I won't say Miami Vice-esque because I don't want Universal to come after us. so the It does have some sort of a
Neon styling, '80s neon styling.
'80s neon styling, you know, Southern Florida sort of vibe.
Yes, very tropical. And
the second design is one of our earlier logos, our alternate logo, and that is the Case in Point with Justin Case, sort of a
sci-fi feel font.
A sci-fi feel, like I wouldn't say a Starfleet per se, but like a
very popular starship with an android on board. Who's actually
maybe from a show that debuted in 1987, ran like 7 seasons.
Yeah,
might have been the Next Generation sort of thing, but yeah, that's our secondary logo, and you can get that one on a shirt if that fits more of your vibe. And that's also at www.tpublic. Is the www really necessary? Probably not. Tpublic.com.
That's better.
case in point, and we're hoping to get some more designs up there. And if you have any suggestions, hey, help us to work on that. We would love to take any suggestions. Maybe a Conway Twitty shirt. What do you think, Justin?
I think that'd be great.
It just says "Hello, darling," and it has his creepy mug on there.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know what? If I was a bigger celebrity, I'd actually start calling people who buy a T-shirt. That would be great.
Yeah, I was going to volunteer you for that. And just say, if you order a shirt, Justin will call you and hound you and say, how did you start listening to the show? Thank you for listening to the show. I don't know what you would call them about.
Well, I'd ask them how they're doing, what they do for a living, and what they like about the show, what they don't like about the show. And tell them I appreciate their patronage. This is good stuff.
But you can go up there. We've got shirts. There's stickers. There's all sorts of good stuff on there. And anything that you purchase helps to support the show. And we thank you.
Yeah, we love support. Thank
you. I'm very excited about it. I'll be honest. You want the backstory on this, Justin?
Hey, let her rip.
All right. What happened was I was looking for your Christmas present, and I don't want to let you down because maybe you would have rather had this instead, but TeePublic has a wide array of designers and different things for sale. I was originally going to purchase you a KB Toys logo T-shirt for Christmas, and I came across the opportunity, and I thought, well, that's pretty good, but maybe having your own podcast logo would be even better. So I decided on that instead, and got a KB Toys one for myself.
Nice. Yeah, you made the right choice. I was blown away. It was great, and it's very cool. Yeah, we definitely want to grow the show, and we want to do it in the right way, and eventually we will get this to where it'd be a little more official, you know. And I know people complain about sponsors and things like that. Oh, your podcast has sponsors now. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. We're growing something. Hey, we do this for fun. And we do this because we like being able to talk. Jody and I don't see each other in person. And this is a way that we can actually get together and actually talk about things. Because we're both very busy, you know, taking care of business, and that's how this whole thing started. And, you know, when I did guest appearances on Jody's That Old Comic Smell show with Jason and Travis.
And TJ Hooker. Let's not forget about your guest appearance on the season 2 episode, Deadly Force.
When I did that show, the bug bit me. I'm like, hey, I can do this. This is fantastic. And so here we are today, and Jody and I, through thick and thin, we're trying to, you know, get some content out there. And I'm looking into, I've said it before, getting some kind of a podcast or get a YouTube presence out there. And I just haven't decided what kind of format I want to do. So, that being said, I would like to tell everyone, you know, how this episode is kind of a primer. We're gonna be doing another movie commentary like we did last year. For you folks who want to check the archives, we did Santa Claus the movie last year. It's the Dudley Moore, John Lithgow presentation that they did. David Huddleston of Santa Claus, God rest his soul. And also, Dudley Moore has passed a long time ago. But, no, it's a great episode. I'm totally botching.
Watch out, Lithgow. You're next.
Oh, you're doing.
You're on notice. Justin's putting you on notice, Lithgow.
Third Rock from the Sun is over. But, that was the one he was on, right?
Yes.
But no, that's kind of what we're going to be doing, and we just want to get on here and kind of let everyone know, hey, we're definitely in the biz for Christmas, and we're not letting things drop. I had my computer actually get fried about 3 weeks ago, and motherboard was gone, and I decided that I went out and bought all new guts for my case, the case that I've got. So all brand new equipment I'm using here. And it's great to be back in action.
Well, it's never easy. You know, like you said, we don't get to see each other often. We're three time zones away from each other.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy to coordinate schedules, but it's even harder to coordinate. I remember we were getting ready to record, and then that's when you found out your computer had been fried. So that really put the kibosh on our shows here for a couple of weeks. But like I said, we're hoping to get back on the stick here and crank out some more content for everybody and keep this train a-rolling.
And the train kept a-rolling all night long. Yes, I love that song. Anyway, originally done by the Yardbirds and uncovered by Aerosmith.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the ABC song.
I'm not a big fan of Poison Arrow. Not a big fan.
Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Jody and I are both big fans of 80s new wave music. And,
yeah, I'm a big fan of all 80s schlock music.
You know what,
give
Jody?
Give me Alphaville.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm a big fan of, and I've always kind of just kept this to myself, even though I've hinted at it kind of as like a joke. I'm a big fan of Marillion, and I've always talked about them, and I started watching it.
I'm not even, that's even above my pay grade. I don't even know what Marillion is.
It's a cool band. They kind of did, it was kind of like a, I can't even put them in a category. I guess he put them in prog. But they did they did some stuff with Dream Theater back in the 90s, and that's kind of how I got onto them. But the stuff they did in the 80s, it's very keyboard-laden, and I really liked that kind of stuff. So Jody and I are both big fans of 80s British New Wave-type stuff. And, Cure, Fascination Street's awesome. I love that song, the extended cut. You know, it's great stuff. We could go on and on about that. We could do a separate show just about 80s new wave music. But, yeah. So, yeah, that's what the plan
is. I know. I'm not adding much here. I'm trying to think of... I was trying to come up with something, a real corker. Something really obscure. And I know you're a big Godly and Cream fan. Would that be considered new wave? Cry by Godly and Cream? I would say so.
You don't know how to ease my pain, Jody.
Bow, bow, bow. Yeah?
Yeah. No, that's a great song. I had the extended cut of that song.
This 4-minute version is not enough for me. I will need the 7.5-minute version.
Yeah.
I don't need a 7.5-minute version song of just about anything.
You don't know how to ease my pain. It's funny that music video had the Animorph technology where the faces kept changing. It was kind of a weird video.
And yeah, I kind of remember that. I like the end of the song where it goes, cry.
It's like really high.
I'm not even going to attempt to do it.
I just did.
Super, you should play a few bars from that at the end of this episode. So if people are not familiar with the song, they would be.
We're going to let her rip. Yeah, we're definitely going to do that. It's funny because the singer actually sang that shirtless in the video. Just from the shoulders up, people. Shoulders up.
Well, maybe he was wearing a tube top.
Is he Billy Squire? Remember that video?
Caught me in the night.
Oh my gosh. That's, oh my. It, I remember someone asked, that killed his career, that video.
Is it the Rock Me in the Night video that ruined his career?
Or yeah.
Is it the Everybody Wants You video? It's the Rock Me in the Night one.
It's the
right?
Rock Me in the Night one. And he's wearing like that orange Tylenol pink colored stroganoff thing with the sweatpants, and he's like vaulting over the bed. And
yes.
Yeah, very agile.
I read a book called I Want My MTV, which is kind of a oral history of the first, say, like probably 81 to 90 as far as MTV goes. Maybe it went into like the mid 90s. I'm not sure, but kind of when it was its own upstart, like, you know, it was the history of the network. And there's an entire chapter in there about how that video ruined Billy Squire's career, where they talked to Billy Squire about it. And it really did ruin his career.
Well, he said the record company made him do it.
To be honest, we're all better off for it because he's not that good. But you still have to feel bad for the guy.
Jody,
they say how I think they went on to say in that chapter how a lot of, you know, in the early 80s, a lot of very unphotogenic bands didn't do so well because they were. People finally got to see what they looked like, and unless you had a gimmick like the Cars, Rick Ocasek is not. He looks like he looks like a rodent. You know, he looks like the rodent from Dick Tracy.
Man, you're on a roll tonight.
He's a very ugly man, and you know, and with him being so ugly, you would think, oh, they're toast. But they had the gimmicks like the You Might Think video. With like the anime, like the car and all that. You remember he's in the bowl of soup? Bowl of cereal, something like that. You remember that video, right?
I thought it was a big coffee cup.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what it was. There's all sorts of different stuff. That video was very ingenious for the time. So they needed some sort of special gimmick until you get to like Who's Gonna Drive You Home, where they're like, we'll just let the other guy sing this song, Rick, and you just kind of stay out of sight. We're trying to give this ballad thing a shot, and we don't need your horse-like face screwing it up.
Oh, man, you're brutal. I remember they had Rick Ocasek on MTV once, and it was like the... What is that crap show they used to have on? The show with Carson Daly. The one...
TRL?
Yes.
Total Request Live? Rick, yeah. Why was he on there? Because he was writing, like, he wrote a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, but he was also involved in producing and writing songs for some of the younger acts because he's really good at what he does.
There was a Gwen, I don't know if it was on, I think it was one of the, no, it might have been the Rocksteady album from No Doubt in 01, 02. I think he did a couple of songs.
And that's
that.
When I saw him, and he had really bad laryngitis. He didn't have a voice. And so he was on the show, and he was just writing stuff out on index cards. I'm like,
that sounds like something you'd see on YouTube. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that they would parade him on there, like 16-year-old girls are going to give a crap about him.
Hey,
Rick! Hey, he's married to Paulina Porizkova.
Yeah, he's married to a supermodel, and he's a brilliant musician and songwriter and producer. Good enough for me, you know. It's,
we want 98 degrees.
Yeah, you want those talentless hacks that are here today, going tomorrow. I got more respect for a guy who can actually get by on his chops and actually learn the craft.
Don't you put down Nick Lachey. Don't you do that. I won't have it.
Well, they're going to be playing Cars tunes long after 98 degrees and everything else has been thrown in the shredder.
I gotta tell you, the Cars, never a big fan. Never a big fan.
I was a fan of the 80s stuff because my sister, when I was like 4 years old, would play the Cars, Van Halen, and yes, Duke Jupiter, and would play all this really cool, like, you know, 80s pop rock stuff. And she had I tell you, my sister's got an ear for dialing sound in, and she had this really cool Monte Carlo, and it had a tape deck. But I think it had, like, a really nice Pioneer stereo in it, right? The way she dialed that in, even though songs were on cassette, it was, like, pristine sound. And maybe it's because I was 4 years old, and I'm like, hey, this music's amazing. But
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was probably because you were four.
Probably. And, you know, I was like, and then it amped up even more when my brother-in-law, he actually played, like, he had the Winds of Change album by the Scorpions, and he played Tease Me, Please Me in his truck, and he had it cranked up really loud, and I was loving it, man. I'm like, this song rocks, you know? And we're pulling into, like, you know, the Salmon Run Mall with Tease Me, Please Me playing, and you got, like, you know, people like, what the frig, you know? And it was really funny. So every time I hear that that song on the radio, we got a really cool radio station here that plays 80s metal and rock all day long. And they've got some really obscure stuff on there. You seen some of those pictures I sent you, Jody, of some of those bands?
Yeah, not any bands I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's lining up for a Tangier tour. I was like... Just, you know, the Tangier Outlet Mall is all I think of. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, guys, we're like all over the place tonight. This is really loose impromptu because we just wanted to test out the equipment and tell you guys, hey, we're going to be doing something in a few days.
That's right. Tell people, you know, Merry Christmas and buy a shirt. And I guess that's it.
I think you covered all the bases there, Jody.
Oh, and you know what? While we're mentioning it, I don't want to put you under the bus here. Throw you under the bus. You got me a present as well, and it's called a WCW gimmick box, and it was a pretty neat box. It's out there from was it at WCW Worldwide on Twitter?
Yeah, and check them out.
It's got a bunch of cool WCW World Championship Wrestling trinkets. Some of it original, some of it reproduced, but all awesome. Is there a magazine in there? There's some.
They have a script. They have a script, or yes. Like the course of events. What's the magic name for that, Jody? It's not the dirt sheet.
Well, yeah, it's kind of the script. It's the run sheet.
The run sheet. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah,
from Nitro. From was it 90? It's from 99 or 2000. I remember looking at the photocopy, but it's pretty neat. It's the actual run sheet for an episode of Nitro. There's some stickers from like 99 in there. I'm not sure if I'm telling you all this stuff.
And magnets.
Still selling any of this, but. Magnets. The magnets are really cool.
Yeah.
Magnets. There's a pin. There was a WCW pin in there that I used for a tie tack this weekend. I got a lot of questions. I got 7 year olds asking me, what's WCW? Old wrestling. Oh,
okay. Yeah. That's yeah. Oh, you're yeah. Whatever.
I'm not gonna, you know, this little 8 year old girl. I'm not gonna go in depth and, you know, give her the rundown of the.
Oh, I thought it was someone's WCW. Grandma.
No, it was a little kid. Okay. I'm not gonna give her the rundown of like, okay, well, it all started at Slamboree.
Oh, nice, granddad. No, I don't. Grandpa, what happened?
All sport. Started before that, but
yeah. Well, it's funny. I thought you said you're gonna use the pin for hors d'oeuvres.
Use the pokey part to get the piece of cheese out of the. I could have done that this morning.
You could stack the what's that crap that they put in those real ritzy freaking snack trays? What is that crap? Not capicola.
What, caviar?
No, it's not capicola. It's the other stuff. And it's not salami. It's on the tip of my tongue. But I would say you could stick the pin in there, like stack them 10 high and just scrape them off. Just do like 10 slices at a time.
What are you talking about that? Bruschetta?
Bruschetta, that's what I was thinking of, yeah.
Fancy.
No, prosciutto.
Bacon.
Prosciutto.
Prosciutto, okay. Okay.
Yeah, we're going high end tonight. Prosciutto. Stack them 10 high. With those table water crackers. We don't do Ritz here. We do the good stuff.
None of that chicken and a biscuit stuff. We're just highbrow crackers.
Got these off the PBS auction. Special offers table. 2002. 15 years old. No, at any rate, that's where we're at, folks. And So we hope that you will meet us there in a few days.
We'll meet you there. We'll drop it off in your podcast feed. You don't have to find us.
Yeah, this is not a live show. This isn't QVC, okay? So
I'm not expecting anyone to drive to my house and say, all right, podcast man, lay it down.
I love these capris. I love everything that you guys sell on here. It's the best. And they're very comfortable. I don't have to wear a belt. And they go great with my Crocs. I love these pants.
Everything. I'm wearing some as we speak. These are my recording Crocs. I don't enter the recording studio without them.
Is it the black ones? The black
Crocs? Yep.
You've had those Man, you've had those like 8 years. It's awesome.
Yeah, they've been a while. We still got some tread left in the tires.
They got some tread left. Yeah, we'll take a dime. We'll measure the tread.
These are legit? I'm sorry, you can't wear these.
We can't use a quarter. No. It's too deep. So we're gonna use a dime.
So just so the listeners know, we've narrowed it down, but we have not quite decided which Christmas movie we're gonna review yet. We've got a couple we're thinking of, but we're keeping you in suspense, I guess. But it's a good one. It's gonna be a really good one.
Yeah, we're still hashing it out.
Yeah.
We're not gonna disappoint you guys. We don't do that. This is not
The only way I'm going to disappoint you is if you are a fan of Prancer. That one is not on the table.
Yeah, sorry folks. That one's too serious. We do funny stuff.
Right.
Yeah, we don't do the emotional stuff. Too much of that crap already in this world.
Yeah. Didn't you go and see Prancer in the theater?
I will confirm nor deny.
See, I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. I had brought it up and thought, well.
Yes, I saw Prancer. Sure. Yes, I saw Prancer.
I'm pretty sure.
I did.
That has been brought up before.
Yeah, I did watch it. And it's very interesting because. It's got that, is it the guy from Tombstone? The guy who does, like, he does the Amco commercials, real deep voice, Sam Worthington? The guy with the real,
Sam Elliott?
Sam Elliott, there you go. Sam Worthington's the guy off Terminator.
Yeah, Sam Elliott, you thought Sam Elliott's from Roadhouse.
Yeah, and he was on Tombstone as well. He was on there, he was, like, the girl's father, and... Kind of a sad movie because the parents are getting a divorce and stuff, and it's like, holy crap. And I'm like, this is not a cheerful holiday movie. This should be a movie about a reindeer and a girl, not like a parental separation. It was a depressing movie.
I wanted Santa Claus. I don't want sadness. I don't want sadness and divorce. I wanted reindeer.
I named him Ted after my dad. She's a side pet in Ted. Anyway, yeah, folks, that's where we're at, and so we will we'll see you here in a few days, and we'll drop another episode, and we hope you guys have a great time during this time of the year.
Yes, we mean that, and thank you for listening. Anybody who's tweeted us. Listened to an episode, liked any of our stuff, retweeted us, followed us on Facebook, any of that stuff. We appreciate it all.
Yeah.
Sincerely appreciate it
exactly.
All.
Exactly.
Everything.
This is
the fact that you want to sit here and listen to us talk about Rick Ocasek is, thank you.
That's one heck of an Adam's apple, I tell you. All right, guys, we'll catch you next time.
We were the right combination. Who broke my heart? You. Was fire was on.